And I may not look the part, but I've got some.
You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Green Island. Upstate New York.
Now,
yes.
Before I left living in Troy, New York, a man was an attorney at law fighting depression, I presume. I don't know. At 61 years of age, the paper said he put rocks in his pockets, I guess, to help him go down, and jumped off the bridge and drowned. And so here it is, 30-something years later, and I'm working on this book, and you tell me, yeah, there was a guy that said he was going to go down to the Green Island Bridge and commit suicide. He said, but Lord, he says, I won't do it if somebody acknowledges me or says hi, something. So, you know, to be part of the human family. And he goes there, no one says hi, no one's nice to him all the way to the bridge. And he figures, well, that's it, I'm going to commit suicide. But then all of a sudden, there was this old guy. He comes up and starts a conversation with him. How you doing? Well, I'm doing this, blah, 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 blah. Little does that old man know, he saved a life that day. Well, he gave him dignity. And I want to show you this thing that you sent me on dignity. The word dignity comes from the Latin root dignitas, which in turn comes from dignus. Root breakdown dignus, worthy, deserving, fitting. Dignitas, worthiness, honor, merit, nobility of character. What it means at its core, at its root, dignity literally means worthiness, not something earned by status, wealth, or behavior, but an inherent value or deserving of respect. The plain language meaning dignity refers to the intrinsic worth of a person, the idea that someone is deserving of honor and respect simply because they are a member of the human family, a quality of nobility, gravity, or moral weight. A helpful way to think about it, worthy, worth, respect. Many faith traditions, including Christian theology, connect this idea to bring being created in God's image, meaning dignity is not given, not achieved. If you'd like, I can also show how the word...
What? Yeah, that's what it prompts you for more questions to ask the AI, the artificial intelligence, ChatGPT. It's amazing. It really is. I asked my pastor if he's using AI, and he said, well, of course I'm going to use AI. Yeah. It's like having the mind of God at your fingertips.
Well, I don't know about that.
Not always the mind of God. Yeah, you need to bring your Christian faith into whatever it is you're looking at.
But anyway, let me finish here, though.
Sure, go ahead.
How dignity is used differently in law, theology, and everyday speech, or a short devotional style reflection you could share with other people.
Well, I thought with our time remaining about 10 minutes or so, right? We have left 15 minutes. Is that what we're looking at?
Yep.
I just wanted to list off some things that we can resolve to do in the coming year that are very, very close to God's heart. And the first one would be to resolve to love God above all else. Let's have our priorities straight. Let's put God in his rightful place on the throne of our heart and not other people, not our goals, not our desires, not anything, not ourselves, that we would put God firmly on the throne of our heart to resolve to love God above all else. And then we go out and do likewise. We love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Number two, resolve to love others sacrificially. Practice forgiveness quickly and completely. Serve without expecting recognition. Speak truth with gentleness, not superiority.
Well, then where do we read that? Speak with gentleness, what?
Speak truth with gentleness, not superiority. Christ-like love costs something. It always did. Number three, resolve to forgive as you have been forgiven. Mm. If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you yours. So release bitterness. Pray blessing over those who have wronged you. Trust God with justice rather than carrying resentment. Number four, resolve to walk in humility and repentance. Jesus consistently opposed pride but welcomed repentance. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Confess sin quickly instead of justifying it.
Remember the poor, not poor, but poor in spirit, knowing you have need of a relationship with God.
Yeah, our needs are great for sure, and resolve to seek God's kingdom before personal gain. Mm. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Align your career, your finances, and time with an eternal purpose. Choose obedience, even when it costs comfort. Measure success by faithfulness, not outcomes. Number six, resolve to be a peacemaker, not a divider. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Seven is to resolve to obey Jesus, not merely admire him. Jesus warned against superficial faith. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Obedient expression comes in the form of applying Scripture in our lives and studying Scriptures so that we rightly discern the difference between evil and good. Let obedience shape our daily habits. Trust Jesus even when obedience feels risky. True faith is revealed in obedience, not words. And number 8 in this list I made up, it says, resolve to bear fruit that lasts. Jesus connected obedience to fruitfulness. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Live intentionally to see others, so others will see Christ in you. Share the gospel through words and actions. Invest in people, not just projects. And have a life abiding in Christ and his word that leaves an eternal impact on our lives. So, lots of resolve, but most importantly, as I said in the beginning, Rhett, I resolve to receive the love of God every day so I can in turn share it with people. Because apart from God, we can do what?
Well, Jesus said nothing. Jesus said, if you love me, if you love me, you will obey me.
Yeah, you'll obey me, right?
Okay, so what does that mean?
Well, I'll tell you what it means to me right now. It means I'm going to fill out an application to start going into the prisons. That's what it means. It means I'm going to do what Jesus said. Hey, you visited me when I was in prison. I have a friend who goes in, and I'm a friend of his, and he says they need people to come in and visit the prisoners.
Actually, but you and I, 30-something years ago, before you were married, because you got born again about a year after me, and we used to go into prisons.
Sure.
And I would do my concerts, and you were the guy that, the guy who did the hidden work.
Well, that too, but we ministered when we went in together.
And we had a blast. Yeah. You remember I had that white van, and we had this white Toyota cargo van with no windows and all the equipment's in that van, and we'd be traveling through. Remember, we're traveling, and we also, I was also at a Toyota station wagon, so I don't know what I had when I was with you. Maybe it was a station wagon, but I remember being in upstate New York, going to Dannemora, or wherever we're going to. These are the prisons. This is the places with the big walls. And what do you call that stuff, barbed wire on the top? And, you know, and I remember one time that there was you were at the back of my service, and I was singing Amazing Grace, and I had them all singing, and I'm wrapping things up for the concert, and then we're going to pack up and go. And you were standing there, and there was this big, big African-American man. And he said to you, he said, yeah, I'm a full-timer, you know.
He said, I'm a lifer.
A lifer. And you went, wow, that's it, praise God. David can be a little naive, at least back then you were. And said, oh, yeah, you're a lifer. Yeah, we're all lifers for Jesus.
And that's what I thought he meant.
And the guy opened up his eyes, and he looked at him, first of all, incredulously, thinking, is this guy being a jerk? He goes, no. I mean, I'm in here for life. And David, oh, what are you in for? He says, oh, I murdered 2 people. Right then you thought you were going to be
I was going to be his third victim because he wasn't happy with what I said.
Yeah, so David was a little nervous that time, but we go through those big blizzards, and the windshield wipers are hitting, and you know, it's frigid outside. It's 4 degrees below 0, as it is right now in New York State, and heading up to this prison or that prison. And so now it's years later. You've been married, had children. Now you're back down here. Your wife is gone. And you're going to join up and go visit the prisons in Florida.
Well, I like that book that I once went through with a bunch of men called Experiencing God. And I love the motto of that book. It says, you know, God's doing a lot right now. You don't really have to create anything new. It says, see where God is moving and join him. He's moving in food shelters or food pantries. He's moving in prisons. He's moving in hospitals. I've been talking to a couple people and they said, yeah, I love to go in and see the people in the hospitals. But I do have a prayer. I don't know how close we are to ending.
No, we got about 8 minutes.
Do we? Okay. So I think when you said, well, what are we going to do? And that is
we can pray now.
Well, the fundamentals of following Jesus is to be obedient. And so, I would just like to offer.
I remember I used to be on a radio station down in Key West, a Christian radio station. The Assembly of God Church down there in Key West had it. And I would be flown in to do concerts at different churches. Years ago, and I was flown in there, and they said, hey, you know, we got this radio station. Would you like to? I had my little radio show in the afternoon, but I'd get an unction. Like, right now, somebody needs to hear this message. And no, next thing you know, somebody's driving up to the radio station and go, well, that was for me. It's perfect timing. And like you just said, you felt like an urge that we should pray now. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, let's just pray. And this is really in line with what we're talking about, to resolve and be resolute in our faith in Christ and to know that we are empty apart from the Holy Spirit. So we're going to offer a prayer to the Lord of obedience and surrender. And I just ask, I invite you to join us in this prayer, Rhett and I, to ask the Lord to really intervene in our lives and get us back on track if we're off track, and to really fulfill the part of the Lord's prayer that says, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. So Lord, as we all step into this new year, I don't come before you, Lord, and none of us do, trusting in our own strength, our own wisdom, or our own plans. We come trusting you.
Trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding.
Amen. So we covenant together, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And we pray, Lord, that we would be busy about building your kingdom before our own comfort. Now, Lord, I surrender my words, my decisions, my relationships, and my time to your Lordship. Where I have harbored pride, Lord, replace it with humility. Where I have held unforgiveness, release me into freedom. Where fear has ruled me, let faith arise in me.
For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind.
Yeah, help me to love others as you have loved me, Lord, patiently, sacrificially, truthfully, and without condition. Today, I choose obedience over convenience, faithfulness over recognition, and your will over my own. Not my will, Lord, but yours be done in me this year. May my life bear fruit that remains, and may everything I do bring glory to the Father. I commit this year to you, Lord, body, soul, spirit, and my future. And we pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus. And I like what Pastor Alex says. I go to Oceans Church. He always says, Lord, we do want to give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor that's due your name. Because apart from you, Lord, we're not even here today. But with you, all things are possible.
Amen. Amen. You know, by the way, talking to my engineers that are hopefully both hearing what I'm saying, maybe there'll be a little space at the end of this to play this recording I recently did with Doolin, and it's called One Solitary Life. One Solitary Life. So maybe when they're editing this later, they could include that for the podcast and for WCNO 89.9 on your FM dial, where Jesus is Lord. So as we said at the beginning of the show today, I'm Rhett Palmer. We're talking with my lifelong friend David Preston Usher. And we met, I guess, 40 years ago it was, because you were about 9 months after me. I got saved March 22nd, year of the Bible, 1983, in my living room.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care, with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself, carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer.
Love so much.